Initially, it's a physical thing. Eh. Guwapo yan. Maganda yan. Parang may classification system sa ulo. Yan. Maganda yan. Yan, guwapo yan. Yan, muntik na maging pangit, pero maganda. And then you have a feeling about these people. They have certain magic. Already, you look at them, you talk to them, meron silang magic. Eh.
Hello, my name is Howie Severino, a Filipino journalist. I've been doing interviews on TV for more than 20 years, and now on audio. Welcome to my podcast. May mga nagsasabing artistahin ang ating panuuhin ngayon, ngunit hindi siya artista, kundi creator ng mga artista, isang kilalang developer at manager ng talent, mentor ng marami sa showbiz. Pero may mga hindi nalalaman ng marami, pati siguro ng kanyang mga protege na may flip side ang showbiz legend na si Johnny Manahan aka Mr. M. Pag-uusapan natin yan mamaya. Magandang araw sa iyo, Johnny Manahan. Mr. M.
Yes, magandang araw rin sa iyo, Howie. Thank you for having me in your show.
Yeah, well, thank you for accommodating us. You've been in showbiz for 50 years na. From singing to directing, and for the last 3 decades, no, developing and managing talents. No? You were quoted as saying recently in another interview, may mga gumugupit lang ng kuko sa social media, million na ang followers. No? Sinabi mo yan kay Heart Evangelista. No? But I think your point was, people these days can become very popular without really showing a lot of talent, no? Yan ang ating media environment ngayon, which includes, of course, hindi lang TV and mainstream media, but social media, TikTok, YouTube, and the like. How important do you think talent is today in achieving success? O yung traditional talents, like singing, acting, dancing, and not only talent, of course, in making TikTok videos?
I think being talented today and talented like 50 years ago, you're more or less the same. Because after a while, if you don't have a talent, mahalata ka eh. People recognize that and they'll go on to another person who interests them. People are attracted to something new, something that they've never seen before. So I said, even cutting your nails, you know, might attract talent for singing, talent for acting. If you have that, it's a very precious commodity for a career. And then when you have it, you nurture it. You take workshops, classes, and to hone your craft. And when you do that, people will recognize it. The masa, curious enough, they know. They know right away na, okay yun, maganda yun, may talent yun. So they can spot that too.
Yung brief mo, no, yung mission mo, is not simply to develop talent, but develop talent that will have commercial success. So it's not really enough to have plain talent. I mean, you're not developing classical pianists after all, di ba? You are developing talent that will be popular, that will have a mass following. Pero yung pinoint out mo kay Heart is maraming may mass following ngayon. Yun nga, gumugupit lang ng kuko ay may milyong followers na sa Instagram o sa TikTok, no? I've seen them myself na may mga tao na napaka-popular sa social media, pero sandali, ano bang ginagawa nito? May gimmick lang. May gimmick lang sila, no? But and yet, they're able to make money. May endorsements, may partnerships with brands.
You know, for a while, I was flabbergasted by it. You know, the first thing I saw was a couple in Korea or Japan, and all they were doing was showing the toys that they bought for their kids, and they're just playing with the toys, you know, for hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And people were telling me these guys are, you know, very popular. So I suppose people all around the world want to, you know, it's like a hamster ba? May hamster ka, naglalaro siya dun sa cage. Tapos, binabantayan mo yung hamster. So, cut your nails, so natutulog ka lang. And something voyeuristic about it, that they're hypnotized by people doing things, even very common things, things that you don't see in mass media.
Has your nose for talent changed? Kasi syempre, kilala ka as kind of a talent guru, no? How has social media changed your criteria, your calculations? Will you consider, for example, someone very popular on TikTok who does not seem to have the same level of talent as previous stars? Would you consider someone like that?
When I was still with ABS, they would guest these very popular, what do they call them?
Influencers.
Right. Anyway, they invite the influencers or people who do TikTok, And then they asked them to do a number. And what I noticed was they really don't level up to the artists who trained themselves and have done it for a number of years, no? The regular artists. They don't level up pagdating dun sa kantahan or sayaw. Some of them do, but not very much. So they do their own specialty in their own broadcasting network sa bahay nila. Everybody's a broadcaster nowadays, diba? They have their own thing. And zillions of people who are trying to make money. They say it's the new world, the new wave. I'm one of those guys na I go back about 50 years ago, so ako na siguro ang pinakamatandang tao dito sa industriya.
So, in a way, do you feel like a fish out of water?
You can say that. I'm still trying to learn about the new media and how you can monetize it. The guy that cuts his nails or the guy doing TikTok, yun ang kumikita. Pero let's say you try and make it a bigger thing, you don't earn that much. I don't think so. You know, like broadcasters now, they say, oy, ito na yung bagong media. So let's go into it. I don't know if they're getting their money back. You know, maybe in a few years, who knows?
So in other words, real talent that's developed and trained will still have a lot of reward as a result of all of that training and development, no? Kasi yun nga, nabanggit mo nga, there are people who from their homes, no, they're able to achieve some commercial success, they're earning without really developing much talent, no? So parang baka nagtatanong sila, no? I mean, why should I have to please someone like Mr. M, no? When I can, you know, I can just not even leave my house and produce content that's earning me. Pero ang sinasabi mo, limited pa rin yun, no? So, ano mo offer ninyo? What can someone like you offer young people?
Probably my experience, if they care to ask me about the good old, bad old days. Because the young people now are into that new media. It's a different thing, Awi, like I said, you know, like you said, I'm a fish out of water, you know, trying to see where this all will lead. I hope it will lead somewhere. But let's say somebody with my experience, if they ask me to share with them my experience, I'm always happy to do that. That's why when GMA, welcomed me, offered me a consultancy. I said, sure, anytime, because I like working with young people, you know, the young people in the industry, the artists, the singers, all of them. I feel like I'm a bridge between what was and what can be.
A lot of us know what good singing is like, no? Pero may tinatawag din na X factor, no? How would you define that today? And has that changed through the years?
I think it's the same, X factor. You go back 1940s to the 50s to this era. I think parehas pa rin. Some people call it it. Some people call it Garbo.
As in Greta Garbo?
Oh, the classic it girls. And then her name became, you know, a byword in the industry so that, you know, people in the 50s, in the 60s, like sila Dolphy, sila Panchito, you know, ginagamit nila. Wala. Direk, wala yung Garbo eh. Yeah. So nowadays, we still call it it.
Paano ba yan? Is there a definition? Is there a formula? I mean, kasi you're known as a major star builder, but how did you get your eye for this talent?
Noona, chamba eh. Chamba-chamba. It's a gut feel. And even people who didn't sing or didn't dance, but you figure they have something in them, you know, X factor. And that's why I called it magic. May magic yun. Initially, it's a physical thing. Eh. Parang may classification system sa ulo. Eh. Maganda yan. Yan, guwapo yan. Yan, muntik na maging pangit, pero maganda. May ganun eh. Sometimes, mas maganda yun eh. And then, you have a feeling about these people. You look at them, you talk to them. Meron silang magic. Eh. But you want to validate it. So, you send them to the workshops. You send them to the dance instructors, and then after a certain time you say, oh, how is that person doing? And then that's when they say, direk, may magic yan, may garbo yan, you know, so you're validated. Essentially, that's it. It hasn't changed. Sometimes you look at them, alam mo na kaagad, hindi mo na kailangan ng testing yan sa mga workshops. You just know that these people have it. And I'm happy that I've been able to spot a lot of them. Meron rin ano, kung mga ano, kakamali rin ako eh. But my batting average, I think, is pretty good.
So what have those mistakes taught you about talent? Are there major lessons that you picked up from trying to develop all these people?
Alalagyan, Howie, parang sometimes hindi ka katingin mabuti. You know, there are like 100 people that come in front of you. So you have to look at all these people. And for most of them, you know right away, meron eh. The others, baka ano yan, still too young, still too raw. And then you let those people go. Mamamama, you hear na, andyan na dun sa kabila, you know, doing something, and all of a sudden, they're a big hit. Ano nakawala yan? So, sabihin nila, direct, nakita mo yan, in-audition mo yan. But hindi ko kinuha yan. Ewan ko, sabi-sabi, kakamali rin.
I'm curious lang, Johnny, because you were at ABS, no? When Alden Richards and Maine Mendoza were at their peak, no? They were very, very popular. Ano ba yung pwede niyong ibahagi na reaction or strategy ninyo para tapatan itong bagong phenomenon, no? Na araw-araw lumalabas at may build up ng popular interest, no? And then nagba-branch off na sa pelikula, etc., shows, commercials. Were they scary for someone like you? And gaano kalaking pressure yung naramdaman mo?
Well, not me. Pero I can tell you, yung mga executives, nataranta sila dun sa success nila, nila main, nila Alden. And panic sila. Wala ba tayong ganyan?
So they told you this. They were panicking, but I'm sure you also felt pressure dahil siyempre ikaw yung tagahanap ng talent para tapatan yung bagong star sa kabila.
Ang sagot ko, meron kaming talent dito. Alam namin may talent pero ayaw niyong gamitin. Ang dami niyan. Nakaano yan sa notebook. He's 10. Really talented people. Pero hindi pinapansin ng mga executives. So, yun ang mistake. Didn't look closely at what we had. Even then, I already noticed that mas mabilis ang GMA magsalang ng artista kaysa sa ABS. I think GMA, they gamble a little and feel the newbies, new people all the time. Ano yan, the more people you feel, may tatama ron eh. Kung you know, ang sinalang mo lang dalawa, 50-50 yung chance mo. Pero kung 10 o 20 ang sinalang mo, the odds are you come up with more stars. So, ayun, taranta sila. Alden saka sa main.
Just an example of how talent is found these days in some realms, no? We interviewed the TikTok sensation Inka Magnaye a few weeks ago, no? She was hired to star in an international movie production along with other TikTok sensations. They were hired because of their TikTok presence and followings, no? Would you consider doing that along with the more conventional approaches?
Yun ang ginagawa namin. I have people who, you know, scour the internet, the new media. They say, direct, ito, marami siyang followers. And then I talk to them. I talk to them, and if I think they can make it in the broadcast industry, then pasok yan. I don't know how those people will do in what, in a movie. Movie ba yun yung sinasabi mo?
Oo, iba-ibang bansa pa. And I guess part of the benefit is, you know, these TikTok stars have millions of followers, no? So, kumbaga, I guess the producers are betting na yung millions of followers na yun ay manunood din ng pelikulang ito.
Exactly yan. Because of their, you know, following, di ba? You're guaranteed a certain number of people who you think might watch the movie. Ganun din yung ginagawa sa, ano, di ba? Sa fashion industry. They have influencers. Tapos, pag marami ng followers yung influencers, they give them a ticket. They go to France. They go to the US. And then they attend fashion shows. Para lumaki pa yung ano, yung following nila. Dala nila yung ano, yung brand name ng kumpanya. But after several years, it would be nice to see kung nandun pa yung nakuha nila. Parang kandila, di ba? Parang kandila. May kandila na pamatagalan. Meron naman, mabilis lang. But exceptional burn. Pero after a while, mawawala.
You've been credited with discovering and training Bea Alonso, no? And then pairing her off, no, with John Lloyd and creating this almost cult phenomenon, no? Yung mga pagla-love team nila, no? So, how did that come about? Is that a good example of what you can do? I mean, hindi lang, you know, kasi sabi mo, sometimes you just know kung mag-click, you knew from the start na these unknowns would be big stars one day.
They come to us really raw and really scared. Their mothers bring them to the cattle call. We call them cattle call. Amani and audition it. Or just a very intimate audition. Mga dalawa lang o tatlo lang. You pick out 5 to 8 people whom you think have it. So kasali dyan si Bea. Kasali dyan si John Lloyd. Some people who, you know, they're not that good looking. Pero magagaling sila. They can do something. You know? Ito ang may hit ito. Lalabas na yan sa training. Lalabas na yan sa, ano, sa marketing. And then the process of matching takes a village. Like directors would be involved. Some executives would be involved in pairing these people. But siyempre, since kami ang, ano, ang mga manager nila, we say, that's not a good idea. Or that's a very good idea. So you can develop it. You can train. Pero kapag wala yung magic, kahit anong gawin mo, hindi magiging successful. Hindi magiging star.
Si Hart Evangelista, no, recalls that one of your most memorable pieces of advice to her and probably other talents was, don't fall in love too much. Bakit nagbibigay kayo ng ganong advice?
Kasi, kanyari, meron kang team up. Okay yan while the going is strong. Pero kapag nag-awa yan, dali na yung, ano, yung production role. Because they have to act together in a scene. And then after a while, sabihin nila, you know, I can't do this with him. So, store mo yan. So I tell the young kids, siyempre nagbibiro ko, no? Pero merong ano to, may truth doon eh. Sabihin, wala mo ng boyfriend ah. Magkaroon kayo ng boyfriend pag ano na kayo, pag 35 na kayo. Pero sa ngayon, wala pa. No? Kasi storbo lang yan. There was this couple, they were married, and it was a very popular show in the late 70s. On the rocks na yung ano nila, yung marriage nila. But they had the show with me. It was like a sitcom. And pag hindi sila, you know, okay, sabihin ng babae sa akin na direct, I can't say this line. You like me, said, I love you. Hindi ko masabi ito eh. Okay, sige, pack up muna tayo. Hindi mo may tutuloy yung ano, hanggat ma-resolve yun. Yung ending nun, talaga, nag-iwalay sila eh. So, natapos yung show.
Anong tingin mo sa mga current love teams ngayon?
I think marami kasi ang nangyayari ngayon, di ba? Yung nasagasaan talaga ng ano eh, yung industriya ng COVID. Itong love team thing is harder now to feel, you know? Mas mahirap na yan eh. Walang manonood dyan eh sa mga movie houses. So ang ginagawa nila ngayon, yeah, it's a streaming.
I'm glad you brought up COVID, no? Because I'm sure this affects love teams and love stories and romantic movies where, you know, you put a premium on physical contact and romantic scenes. So is it possible to still have good romantic movies in the time of COVID when everyone is scared of touching each other?
Well, you're right. There's an element of fear there. But, siyempre, gagawa sila ng mga paraan. Like, you put them in a bubble. You observe them. But ang mahirap ngayon is, kasi dati yung mga love teams, sinasalang niyan sa, ano, sa mall. You go around. Then you try to create this groundswell of, ano, of popularity. You know? You can't do that anymore. Pag sa noontime show, may audience yan eh. And they go crazy. Di ba? Pag nakita nila yung love team, sigawang, palakpakan. Hindi pa sila ano, kumakanta. Hiyawa na sila. You can't do that anymore now. Eh. It's a different thing now. Let's see how it works out. Sana wala na itong peste na ito.
Nung pumasok kayo sa showbiz, no, ang mga artista, may mga kontrata pa sa studios. Regal, Viva, Seiko, LVN, these are legendary names in Philippine cinema, no? Nakita nyo rin yung pag-usbong ng golden age ng television. So how do you see the future of entertainment and TV in particular?
In the early years, 60s, 70s, the film was it. Pag hindi ka artista sa film, hindi ka sikat, hindi ka star. And then they would never do anything on TV. Pag dinis pa yun, aayaw lang sila. But you're right, at a certain time, transcendent ang TV. Because hindi ma-match nung mga gumagawa ng pelikula, hindi lang ma-match yung ano, mga Hollywood films. Ang daming ano, blasting, ang daming gumugulong at bumabaliktad na ano, mga kotse. Tapos they compare it to the action films here. Parang ano, walang-wala eh. Malayo. So the people here stopped watching ano, film. They started to get interested in TV. That's where the industry bloomed. So people like Dolphy and Panchito, I think they knew the handwriting on the wall. So lipat rin sila dun sa media, TV media. About the future, what I can see is you can now make movies, even if you can't show it in the theaters, katulad ngayon, pwede ka pumunta sa Netflix. Even your iPhone, you can use that. And they made movies, they made programs shooting the iPhone and kukunin niya ng Netflix or HBO.
So you see streaming possibly replacing the popularity of TV one day?
I think so. Sad to say. I'm sad because, well, yun ang media ko, no? The TV broadcast. So now, you have narrowcasted. Hindi na broadcasted. It's narrowcast because people have certain narrow interests. Pero, ano yun? Marami yun. Eh. Marami yung interest na. So, from a huge audience, your audience now is fragmented. And this streaming business, I think it still has to develop so that people can, you know, make real money out of it. But I'm pretty sure it will eclipse broadcast TV. Ang matitira dyan yung news and public affairs. And then they'll show movies and narrative dramas or narrative comedies, either sitcoms. Even the sitcoms, eh, nalipat natin sa, ano, eh, sa mga, ano, eh, mga streaming. Eh. I think that's the new thing. We can't stop it. You just have to ride the wave.
Yeah, well, one of the more successful countries in riding this wave nga is Korea, no? In Korean entertainment has become a global sensation, no? And so many of us, so many Filipinos and people around the world are glued to Netflix and other platforms because of Korean entertainment. Ang dami nating kilala ngayon na mas nanonood pa ng Korean shows kaysa sa Philippine shows, no? What can we learn from them?
You know how they were able to do that? They had everything in place. What I mean about everything in place is it's not enough. Let's say you have the stars here, but you have to have the system, how to merchandise these people, how to broadcast these people. What they did was they went to the internet. Several years ago, mayroong concert dito, yung mga Koreano. And I said, how did it become such a success, no? Dun sa mga, mga malalaking venues? People of my generation, hindi namin alam kasi tumututok kami sa TV eh. Pero sa kanila, iba na yung instrumento eh. They have their iPads, they have their, computers, they have their iPhones. Doon nila nakukuha yung messages eh. O magkakaroon ng concert ang Korean. Ang BTS ngayon pa. Umabot pa sa United Nations eh. Diba? They gave a speech there and they were merchandised through the internet. But they had everything in place from the production to the training. Ang haba ng training nila. They look for these people and they train them for years before they're made to go out in public. And then they had the merchandising, they had the deals all set. And that's how they became so popular, they became worldwide phenomenons.
What do you think they did that we can do? I mean, anong pwede mong i-suggest na maaring tularan natin dito sa Pilipinas?
Kasi kapag training, alam nila natin yun eh. Alam namin yun. I'm sure we could get people, who are just as pleasing and who will, capture the imagination of people abroad. Meron tayong mga artistang ganun eh. But it's the merchandising eh. It's the training, it's the merchandising. Yun ang mula pa rito eh. Wala pa, walang sistema pa na ganun eh. Sila, they have it. They have contacts all over the world. You just don't get on US TV, you know, by just being popular. You know, you dapat meron ka mga contacts doon. Eh. It's the money also. Eh. Somehow, alam nila, ano, how to market these people and gain international, you know, international fame, international access. We still haven't done that here because we haven't tried it yet on a big scale. You know.
Ang mga Kapuso shows, mapapanood at mapapakinggan din abroad via GMA Pinoy TV, GMA Live TV, at GMA News TV channels. Para mag-subscribe, visit www.gmapinoytv.com. Follow us at GMA Pinoy TV on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Viber, and TikTok for the latest updates on Kapuso programs, artists, events, promos, and more. Salamat, Kapuso!
Johnny, yung hindi alam ng marami, when you were starting your showbiz career, you were at the same time on the cutting edge of the art world, no? You were known as a young and very promising avant-garde artist at a visual artist, no? And kinilala ka nga, you got awards, and the famous artist Chabet recognized your talent early on. And paano yung nakatulong sa'yo? I mean, what place does it have in your own outlook today?
It helped me to realize that sometimes when you're doing something, it gets very lonely. Nobody writes about you. Baka ikaw lang ang nakaka-appreciate dun sa ginagawa mo. But it's helped me to go on, nevertheless, and persevere in what I think is right, or what I think is good for whatever I'm doing. So maybe that's helped sa TV rin. You learn to do the work. You don't complain. You don't wait for anybody to pat you on the back. You just do what you think you're right.
And I just wanted to read something I saw on the internet written by Carlos Celdran, who's also a visual artist in addition to his fame as a tour guide and provocateur. No? Johnny Manahan's works at the Cultural Center of the Philippines in 1972 was meta before meta was coined. Postmodern before postmodern was postmodern. And it placed Manahan firmly in the history books as the artist responsible for the first documented video art piece in the Philippines and perhaps in Southeast Asia itself.
Because when I studied in the States, and balik ko rito, that's what I did. I did some art, some painting.
You studied art or art history in Berkeley?
Art history.
So that's part of the surprising aspect of your personal biography, no? Medyo, of course, ang ginagawa natin ngayon para sa masa, no? Pero you kind of started with medyo mataas yung uri ng art mo sa simula, no? Oo, medyo cutting edge, kumbaga.
Parang kami lang nakakaintindi. We were doing something na sometimes even us, we didn't know what would follow after that. And I sort of fell into, I keep falling into things like show business. Parang sumasabit lang ako dati dun sa hermat ko. Pagpunta sa studio, ako yung bodyguard niya. Parang gano'n. I'd carry her stuff. And then after a while, sabi ko sa sarili, this is nice. I enjoy it. I was looking for something to do that pays some money. Kasi dati, bum lang ako eh. Mahirap magbenta ng parang advanced art.
Yung ama mo, no, was a very prominent doctor, no? I read that he founded Makati Medical Center. Hindi ka ba na-tempt na sumunod sa kanyang career na maging doktor?
Ako, hindi ko na ambition. Sabi ko sa kanya na yun kasi marami siyang nagawang maganda. Baka hindi ako makasunod. For a while, I considered it. But like I said, I keep falling into things. Accidente. After going to the studios with my mom, I got interested in it, seeing all the actors, people behind the scenes. And sabi ko, I can do that. Eh. So, ayun, nagsimula ako doon in the early 70s, just before martial law, 1970, 71. Pinasok ko yung assistant director dun sa show ng mother ko. May mga specials siya, musical specials. Once a week. And so I would do everything in that show. Set designer, tagatulak ako ng crane, mag-assistant director ako doon, just to learn the craft, no? The process. And the first thing I ever did on my own, I directed. I did a Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know kung maalala mo yung it started, ano, album yun eh.
Oo, and I saw several stage versions. Naging popular yun, even now.
We were able to, ano, come up with a, I would say, a nice, ano, nice production. Ang kasama dun sila, ano, Tommy Abuel, Bernardo Bernardo, and then Loris Guillen. Oh, yun yung mga artista ko noon. And they were just starting. Si Loris, nakita ko yan sa isang play. So I asked her if she could do yung Mary Magdalene part.
Isa ka palang naka-discover kay Loris Guillen, you know? And this was before she became a celebrated director.
Oh, I like to say that, whether it's true or not. Anyway, after yung Jesus Christ Superstar, sabi ko, I'm on my way in my career. All of a sudden, sarado. Sarado na yung ABS. So I had to start again. Going around Channel 9, Channel 13, I restarted my career there.
You've mentioned your famous mom, no? Si Elvira Manahan. She hosted a very popular and important talk show for many years, in Two for the Road.
I think she started in the old ABS, 1966.
You know? Oh my gosh.
Oh, and then...
Yeah, yeah.
Pagdating ng martial law, pack up muna. After a few years, dinala na yan sa GMA.
During one stage... At least one stage, no? She would feature activists, no? Nag-interview siya ng mga aktivista, no? During the time of the Marcos regime, no? How daring was that then?
Quite daring, I suppose. Maybe only she could do that. She was also friendly with the Marcoses from way back. You know, wala pa yung martial law. They were circulating in the same circles. So pagdating ng martial law, she also had wide kasi yung ano eh, yung choice of friends niya. She also had ano, activists like Ben Cervantes and si Nestor Torre, you know, and a lot of ano, the other writers from the newspapers. So I guess anytime that she thought she could sneak them in the show, she would. They didn't talk much about politics in the show.
Yung art lang nila, in other words, no?
They were just having fun. Mga ano yung mga kabarkada niya, yun sila, Nestor Torre. Writers, she had all these directors who were, hindi naman aktivista. They didn't like the Marcos regime. Barkada rin niya yun. Andun siya sa both camps, you know. But even some of her best friends who were, you know, like si Mr. Luis Araneta, who's an architect, a very good friend of my parents, they would go on rallies.
Did you have political opinions back then? Because those years, itong 1970, 71, 72, was a very politically turbulent time, no? And then nag-martial law, sarado nga yung media, but people were still opposing the regime then, no? But a much lower profile. Did you express your political opinions back then?
At first, apolitical ako. I didn't want to get into that. I didn't know much about that. So, apolitical talaga. Trabaho lang ako. Until yung ano, pinatay si, ano, si Nino.
1983.
Oo. And at that point, kung wala kang reaction, hindi ka tao eh. So, that's when I got ano, politicized. And I tried to help out in my own way. They would go to rallies. Nakikisabay rin ako, paminsan-minsan, dun sa mga rally. Just being present at the rallies. After the Ninoy thing, di nag-rally na si Cory. Yan, sumasabay ako dun. Kahit pa paano.
You had prominent parents, pinaaral ka sa Ateneo at sa Berkeley sa United States, no? And yet, parang alam mo rin yung pulso ng masa, no? You launched very successful careers and directed successful shows that appealed to wide audiences. One of our sayings at GMA is, panunoorin ba ito ni Aling Barang, no? The typical DE viewer that comprises a big part of our audience, no? Was there a process for you to learn about what will click with the Aling Barangs of our world?
So when I got into television, that's what I had to learn. And I learned it by being around people like, ano, mga Dolphy, Panchito, Katsupoy, even the older ones, sila Patsy, Pugo. Pag kinakausap ito mga tao na ito, they've lived life. Diba? And somehow you can sense that you can learn from these people so that you can, after a while, pwede ka nang gumawa na programa na which Aling Barang will watch. And then after a while, sabi ko, parang ano na, kuha ko na yung pulso ng ano ng masa. Nakuha ko na yun just by learning from these people. Or even people like Adin Fernando, yung mga gumagawa ng script.
Director siya ng John and Marcia, no? Na one of the biggest hits of Dolphy and the late Nida Blanca.
Ibang klase yun si Adin. Genius yun. Yung araw ng taping, wala pang script yan. Ha? 3 or 4 hours before, kukuha lang yan ng kapilasong papel. Or kung may, you know, kung kapilasong palara. And then, he will just, you know, write some notes. Gagawa siya ng story, ha? Tapos, pagdating sa set ng nila Dolphy, you know, wala silang script. O, ito yung sasabihin mo. O, ikaw naman, ito yung sasabihin mo. Pag hindi ka mabilis doon, hindi ka talaga pwede doon. So, pag-perform nila, syempre, they'll elaborate. Eh. Mag-i-invent sila. They'll make up the script, in other words, as they go along. Ganyan ang style niya. Eh. So, nakakakuha siya. People like that, mas gusto nila yan. Eh. They like to, ika nga, they like to wing it.
Sana all, no? Ang iba sa atin will need to make a lot more effort before we air anything. How would you define pulso ng masa these days?
I think yung masa, parang yung masa rin noon. Of course, it's changed just a little because you have new types of shows. You have a new language. But essentially, yung aling barang is aling barang, you know, whether it's before or ngayon. Because we're human beings, hindi naman tayo nag-iba masyado. No? We still have the same dreams, the same hopes, the same heartaches. We still have essentially the same humor.
Well, I'm done with my questions. Thank you for sharing and for your many years of creating entertainment for all of us. Maraming salamat. Johnny Manahan, also known as Mr. M. Mabuhay po kayo. Thank you.
Thank you.
This story was produced by Shaila Garde and Chan Salvador and edited by J.R. Magtoto with the wonderful people of GMA News and Public Affairs Digital. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig hanggang sa dulo. We love long attention spans. Nakakatalino yan, promise. Follow the Howie Severino podcast on your favorite streaming app para sa susunod naming mga episode. Mabuhay po kayo at ingat lagi.